Okay, we're going to have another short time of testimonies, and then I'll pray for the kids, and we'll send them off to their Sunday school. But like I said last week, right, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they despised their life even unto death. So, okay, you guys can take my seat. That's fine, Dave. Okay, and so I asked a couple people, and we're just going to do an interview style, so it won't hopefully take up too much time, as well as we can just cut to the chase about a lot of things, okay? And so let me ask GA to come up. Let's welcome GA up here. I was going to ask a few other people, but they would have talked the whole time. So, you know, that was Jungmin. Everyone's thinking Jungmin. So, plus, he's taking an exam today, so he'll be here in a little bit. But GA, how should I say, how have you been enjoying the conference?
Oh, it's been awesome. Just been experiencing God in such a real way, and having Pastor Mary and Rob and Gloria and Sang pray for me. I think if you were here last week on Saturday, you heard some of the things that they said, and it just confirmed some of the things that I've been praying for. In January, my prayer life started to change with the fast. And by the way, if you haven't tried fasting and prayer, it really does bring breakthrough. So I highly recommend it the next time we do it as a church, because before I couldn't pray for more than 5 minutes, and now I can pray much more than 5 minutes. Amen. So since then, I think I used to pray in lists, and I still do, but God interrupts me during my lists, and he starts putting like people's faces and words into my head. And so God actually, I didn't know what that was, and I kind of assumed it was God. And when Pastor Rob preached that, you know, how do we know that it's God? And when you ask God something and God puts a thought into your head, why wouldn't it be God? So that kind of confirmed all the things that were running through my head at that time. Where was I? Oh, for those of you who know me, if you ask me about politics, I will not shut up. I have a passion for politics, international relations, and that's what I studied. And my job has nothing to do with that right now. And so I kind of thought, like, one day God kind of said to me, like, you'll pray for the nations. And that was confirmed in prayer by the team when they called me up to pray that you've been called to pray for the nations. And I feel as though that God wants to encourage you in this, and he's confirming that. So exactly the words that I absolutely needed to hear.
Well, we were here, and we heard the prayer. And so there were a couple of things that really stood out. Now, how does that affect your life now? I mean, how does it affect the way you do things and, you know, the way you're going to go about your daily business?
One of the books that I read quite recently was Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. And that really blew my mind. It just changed my whole perspective of things. And now I just silently pray to God when I'm on the bus. I have a very long commute. And or just wherever I am, I just try and I realize that the words that I speak has immense power. Like just saying, God bless you. And God really does bless you. And he brings peace and calm into your life. Like even a stranger walking by on the street. So I do that. Now I just feel as though like, I think I shared this on the website, but I feel as though as Christians, we lead a supernatural life. We're like these superheroes that are in disguise, and we look like everyone else in the world, but yet we have this immense power through his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, through the Holy Spirit, we can speak languages that we've never ever learned, and we can prophesy over people, and we can encourage them in a supernatural way that has power and meaning in their lives. Like just the words that we speak into the people's lives can change their lives because of the Holy Spirit. Not just words without meaning, it's words that actually count and has power and it has impact in the heavens above.
Amen. She's preaching now. Come on, church. Come on now. Can I get an amen? So we had an activation time, and I noticed that many of the groups that people were praying over people, and so it wasn't just them that were actually doing the giving the prophetic words. It was a group. Did you have any prophetic words for people?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they really did.
Yesterday during the activation time, we prayed for people So first it started with people, we would take turns, so we knew who we were praying for, but eventually it changed a little bit, and we all had to close our eyes, and Pastor Rob would tap someone on the shoulder, which meant that that person was being prayed for, and the rest of us would just have to speak out whatever God put us in our minds. And so one of the things that I prophesied was that I see a star in the sky, and I could have interpreted it in one of two ways. One was that this person is the star in the sky who is bringing light to the world, and the other way was that Jesus or God is the star in the sky, and he's bringing light into your life because maybe there are some dark areas in your life that you need some clarity over. And those two thoughts went into my head as I was trying to interpret this image that I had in my head. And I sensed the Spirit telling me that it's the first one, that this person is the star, and that her person whom I prophesied over happened to be Hedan. And she said that that at work, people call her star. I mean, yeah, she's a fantastic lawyer, so she is a star. But yeah, so that people at work call her star. And Hedan, if you know her, she is the salt and light of the place where she works. So she felt as though that had truly spoken to her in a personal way. It wasn't some random thought that was passing through my head, and that confirmed that God really does speak to me, even if I have no idea whom I'm praying for.
Amen, amen. Thank you, GA. Oh,
thank you.
Let's give GA a round. Are you a little nervous? It's okay. YRG, can you come up here? For some of you guys that don't know, this is Margie. Let's welcome Margie. Now, Margie, I think some really funky stuff happened to you. When was that? What night was that? Friday night? Yeah, you were going crazy. What's up with that? What was going on with you?
Well, I really did not expect that, but I prayed with Christine before that. I had
put it right next to your mouth.
Sorry. Before I came to the front, I really prayed with Christine that God will open our minds and open our hearts and let just Spirit come in. And well, Gloria and Pastor Rob were ministering to me. Gloria was saying things about me being rewarded by the Lord after all the struggles and the difficulties that I've been through, and it's time to stop and just receive God's grace. And then when it was Pastor Rob's turn, I did not really expect that he sensed that I had this spirit of infirmity in me, and somebody planted it on me. And this was true because I used to be athletic, but something happened to me. I pulled my hamstring, and the pain has been there since then. But when that thing happened, when that accident happened, I went to a faith healer in the Philippines because, you know, my parents didn't believe in, you know, painkillers. So we were brought to natural healing doctors. So, and I didn't know that which doctor, I mean, the faith healer had something, and it had been in me all the time. And I would experience pain all over, you know, especially, I'm a teacher. I'm very active in the classroom. And at night time, I would have my back aches, and, you know, but I don't tell anyone, you know. I just pray, and in the morning, it's gone. And then again, when I get tired, it's there. And there is this very, very painful upper, upper left thigh of mine. And I have already sought medical advice, and I went through all sorts of x-rays and even nerve conduction, you know, nerve conduction when they put needles around your, you know, upper leg, and it's so painful. Again, nothing. The pain still came back on and on, on and on. And then finally last Friday, it dawned on me, when Pastor Rob mentioned the witch doctor, and oh yeah, that's true. And I just lost it, you know. It was just like a breakthrough, but still I had a difficulty. I was struggling, and I was so fearful. I didn't know what was happening, and Pastor Rob kept telling me, "Look into my eyes. Look into." I didn't want to look into his eyes, and I was like fighting it. And I had to tell him, I had to ask him, Pastor Rev, can you recite for me Psalm 23? And he said, sure. And inside me, it's like a battle. It was like a battle. I was shaking all over my neck. I couldn't stop it. Everything, especially my back. And then when the shaking in the neck stopped, it went into my lower back and then my legs, my toes. And then I just felt it, that deliverance was coming. Deliverance was coming. Because as the shaking stopped from my head going down to my toes, I could feel this very this face in front of me. As I could stare into his eyes, I could see this face so familiar to me. I came so close to Jesus. I came so close to him. Like, I could stare into his eyes. And finally, I came back to myself and I said, that was him. That was him. That was Jesus. And it's so close. And then finally, when Pastor Rob asked me to sit up, and then I look at him and it's Pastor Rob. and then I started crying because I didn't want that face to disappear. I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much for healing. And that was my experience. I came so close to Jesus. And Pastor Rob whispered to me that even if you don't see him, he's inside you. And yes, he really is inside us.
That's great. Thank you, Margie. Wow, praise God. You know, it's sort of a side note, but, you know, the zodiac and palm reading and all these things that may seem very harmless, right? Those are all counterfeits of what God has really given to us. And a lot of times, I don't want to freak you guys out, but a lot of times when we do that, you basically open a door up in your spirit, right, for not so very good things to come into your life. And so you can't just walk around, you know, and some spirit comes upon you. It doesn't work that way. There actually has to be some kind of invitation, you know, through an outright invitation, like you let someone read your palm, or these kind of things happen, or, you know, or you know, because of unconfessed sin, repetitive unconfessed sin, you open that door as well and stuff. And so this is what happened in Margie's. I'm trying to explain to you theologically, right? This is what happened in Margie's life. And so now because of a power encounter and because of a prophetic word, right, she was able to, you know, have this a spirit that was tormenting her be released off of her. And that's good news. Amen. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, for some of us, and I feel like, you know, I'm going to spend probably a few weeks. So I'm going to continue my series on teaching, but I have to come back and talk about a lot of these things because, you know, everything that you saw this week and everything happened, we can teach straight out of the scriptures. You know, so I've done this for periods, so many years, you know, of doing this. And so don't worry. We're not a weird church. We're not a crazy church. We're just the regular church. Right? I don't know what everyone else is having, but we're really having church. I'm not saying we're the only ones, right? So that would make me a cult, you know, kind of person to say stuff like that. But we just want to experience everything that Jesus experienced, you know, and that's what we want our lives to be about. And for me, I'll tell you as a pastor, right, the prophetic is so important, you know, in my own personal life, you know, in the life of my church, in my life with my wife. The prophetic runs through every core of my being, and this is how I make my decisions in my life. You know, I'll tell you just one story, not so related to me, but the first time that I really had really understood what it really meant, and there was a girl, you guys, do you remember Christine? Little girl, she went to UC San Diego. Christine, right, really powerful intercessor. Christine, she was a sophomore in high school at the time, and she had just gotten saved in our youth group. Her freshman year, she flunked out of school. She almost got straight Fs, you know, just, I mean, not that she was unintelligent, but she just wasn't into it. You know, she liked to go drinking, going to the parties and things. She got saved in our youth group, got her life right. She studied her butt off, right? I mean, just literally. Her dream school was UC San Diego, right? You know, I know it's a little lower than some of your standards, but to her, UCSD was the school, right? And don't bag on UCSD. That's where my wife went, all right? So, any case, that's right. I got you back, honey. The mighty Tritons, right? So, and so she applied, and I mean, she flunked out her freshman year of high school. Thank God that, colleges omit the freshman year, and it's only 10th, 11th, 12th grade. Well, she started studying, and God was, I mean, just really moving in her life. And what happened was Rob came with a team, and two of the girls that I'm actually very close with, Clara and Christina, you can sit up here, Mrs. Lowe, right? You know, she came during this time, and when Clara said something to her, gave her a prophetic word, and the word was that the Lord's going to set you in a school, and it's going to be a good, it's going to be a driving distance, but it's not going to be so far. I mean, very specific words. This is a school of your choice, you know, and it started saying these things. You know what happens is, because, I mean, there's no way she's going to get into this school. Her grades are not good enough. I mean, just honestly, you know, the UC system has sort of a grid. Her SAT scores don't really make it, and her grades, I mean, grades are okay now. So what happens is she's all pumped up. She gets this prophetic word and she starts praying over this word, you know, and she's thinking, okay, this is my first choice. Is UCSD is like driving distance, not so far away. I mean, so precise, these words. And now this wasn't Rob and Mary. These were the your underlings, right? That, you know, the disciples, right? They were doing this thing, the underling team, right? Team. Right. So, whoops. So, right. Let me gear back. So what happens is she gets a letter from UCSD. You know what happened? She got rejected, right? She received a letter back and no school. And she was sort of distraught for a while. She spent about 2 weeks. And then at first she was like, okay, it's God, you know, it's God's will, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she started getting really upset with God. And God, I thought this was going to happen, you know. And then she went back to having peace with God. You know, and through the course of all this, but she still kept on to that prophetic word. This is, Lord, this is your word. You know, and I believe it, I receive it. And I'm just going to, in faith, stand out. You know what happens? She, 2 weeks after this, and this is after she just made totally complete peace with God, she gets a letter in the mail from UC San Diego, and they accept her. Isn't that amazing? They didn't, I mean, colleges never do this. They send her a rejection letter, right? And then 2 weeks later, they send her an acceptance letter. You know, and so, you know, she went to San Diego. She graduated 4 years. She actually got her master's. You know, she was teaching in school, you know, and now she just graduated. She's a youth pastor, actually a children's pastor. I'm actually trying to recruit her to come to Hong Kong this summer and things. Just incredible women of God, you know, and it's the word, right, that puts something inside of her. You know, had her not received that word, she would have got a rejection letter and she would have just forget it. But there's some things that we need to contend with God for. You know what I mean? There's some things that we need to get on our knees and fight the good fight of faith. You know, and she was able to do that. And I believe, I don't think it was a clerical mistake, you know, that UC San Diego made. I believe that God supernaturally, right, created, you know, a creative miracle, right, to bring her into that school, you know, and she's ministering, you know, powerfully in San Diego. You know, and it's all because God stirred something, right, through his word, through the prophetic word. That's why we invite people like this, so they can impart to us, you know. And so, you know, without further action, let me bless the kids. I always forget this. Let's lift our hands to the kids and let's bless them. And Father, we thank you, God, for bringing these little ones to our church, Lord. And we just love them so much, God. And we just want to express your love, Lord, more than anything else. Be with Sarah as she teaches today, Lord. Bless her, use her, Father God, Lord, to just reveal your love and reveal your heart in even a deeper, more profound way, God, that they can truly understand, Lord, that you are God and that you love them. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. And so with that, let's welcome Rob.
God is good, isn't he? Good. We were kind of talking about what we felt like the Lord wanted to do today, and I feel like initially that Mary has a word for the church, that she wants to release and bless over all of you as a church congregation, and then we want our team to be able to bless your pastors and minister to them. What's important about your pastors is wherever the Lord takes them, you're going with them. And so it's actually a thing for the whole church body, but it's going to be focused kind of on them. So why don't you come and share what God's put on your heart?
Lord, let your word, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say that with me. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I was praying for the church, Solomon's Porch, I felt the Lord wanted to impart something to you today. And this isn't something, just like Pastor Sam, I just really appreciate what he said. And that is, when the word goes forth, you need to take it and begin to work it out with the Lord. Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9 is what the Lord wants to speak forth over this church and birth in the midst of you. It says, this is what the Lord, the God, the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, the light, the Gentiles, the unbelievers. The Gentiles, those who are not in covenant. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And I see where this place the Lord has planted. And this place the Lord has made a nucleus of fire. The Lord has put the fire of the glory, His glory, in your midst. And out of that nucleus is going to radiate life. Life, deliverance. For those who are not in covenant, for those who do not know the Lord. And I see where the radiation is coming forth and it's going out. And I see rings coming out. And I don't think it's an accident that many of you are from different nations. Some are the same ethnicity, but you have a world perspective. And the Lord says, I'm going to use that. And I'm going to send you out and bring you back. Send you out and bring you back. And life is going to spring forth from this place. This place. This place. And the Lord says, get ready, because this building is not going to be big enough to contain all that I am going to do here. Because more bodies are coming in as I draw them and I reach out and draw them to this place. Because here is going to be a place where the nations are fed spiritually. And the nations have come to this island. And I have brought them, says the Lord. And as I draw people in here, they will be fed, they will be equipped, and they will go out. For this is not a church that's going to sit in comfortable pews and stand and just have a good time together. But this is a church that's going to be busy. They're going to be busy. They're going to be busy about the Father's business. Yes, they work, and they work in the world, but they're bringing in finances and funding for ministries all over the earth, not just in Asia. I am equipping you, and I am giving you heavenly perspective, says the Lord. For you have walked and seen the earthly perspective. But the Lord said, I am releasing on you my heavenly perspective so that we can partner together to reach many. So, Lord, I bless these people. I bless them, Lord. And we say yes and amen to your word. Lord, I pray that you will give them and remind them that they will covenant with you for your purpose here. And Lord, that fruit will be so abundant and will feed so many for years and years to come. Amen.
Why don't you guys come up too? For those who are visiting, we just need to do a little family business today. Solomon's Porch has been so grateful to host us, and so we're giving them a little bit of time. I will have well, you've probably heard the message by now. I'm just going to share a few stories. But if you and Lisa could come up, we just want to bless you. And those of you, particularly from this church, just extend your hands. This is a form of just blessing. Come on, y'all go together. Father, we thank you for Sam and Lisa and their heart. And we just extend a Holy Spirit blessing and anointing on them. Father, we thank you for their heart willingness to say, God, whatever it takes, wherever it takes, however it takes, that's what we want to do. And I feel like the Lord is saying that we've got the basics set in place now, and it's a really coming into a time of expansion and multiplication, that where you've added two and lost one and added three and lost four kind of a thing, I feel like the Lord is saying, because you've sown well, it's a harvesting kind of time that's going to happen now, that this group is going to be that foundation. This building truly is too small. I feel like the sense of the Lord saying, start looking. It's going to come fairly quickly that this building's just too small. And you say, well, but a lot of the people here this week have been visitors and all that. But when the Lord starts putting his hand on things, things are going to multiply. And who you're getting is going to be the ministry team for those who are coming after. This isn't just a one-wave thing. It's more than that. For the Lord knows your heart and your commitment and your desire to do the kingdom work here. And because of that, he says, I'm going to release on you a harvest.
Getting a strong sense, Sam, I guess you've probably already been told this before about you being an apostle. I'm really getting a sense of you and Lisa being planted here as a breakthrough church, that a lot of the stuff that you start here is going to be breaking through, that the Lord is using you in a cutting-edge ministry, and that you're going to be starting a lot of new things. You're going to be paving the way for a lot of the other churches in this city, and the Lord is going to break through new ways of doing ministry. You're going to break through. You're going to break over principalities over this city. And the pioneering and the breakthrough that you do through Solomon's Porch is going to be a portal entry for the Holy Spirit move in Hong Kong and throughout Asia and through the ends of this world. So, Lord, we just release that. We release the triple anointing about planting, breakthrough anointing, apostleship, a great mantle of leadership over Sam and Lisa in this city, Lord Father, that the words that are planted here and the power that comes from this church, Lord. And Sam, just there'll be more networking and linkages with other pastors in this church, new ways of doing ministry for English-speaking congregations. So just a big release of that.
And the word I have for you is from Haggai. Chapter 2, verse 9, says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And I feel the Lord is just pleased with the worship, pleased with your heart. And where in the past that he has just come to visit, I really feel that the glory of God is going to dwell and rest in this place. It's not just going to come for a Sunday or for intercession and leave, but the presence of God is going to be here. And there is going to be an outpouring of the glory of God, that where you go, the places you go, the places you speak, that where the people are led to, they will be carriers of the glory of God. For the glory of God is going to be greater than that was here formerly. Lord, we ask that you would just bless them, and we release more of your presence. We release more of your glory, that they would be overflowing with your presence, and that your presence would be dwelling in this place wherever they gather, whether it's in this building or in a coffee house, that your glory would dwell in this church.
And I see that breaker, and I see that breaker is like a ship with a cutting blade right in the front that's cutting through the glacier ice, that hard rock glacier, and it's going forth and it's building up speed, says the Lord. There's speed and momentum that's building up so that it's not just a little here and a little there, but it's a massive breaking of hard ground that's been hard for centuries, for ages, and the ground is plowed by this breaker blade, and it's separated and it's broken into pieces. And the Lord said, I'm breaking it up, I'm breaking it up, and I'm softening the ground, and I'm going to plant, and I'm going to plant through you, and I'm going to plant things that have never been seen. I'm going to plant things that have never been done. And so get ready for the new thing, because it's springing forth and it's going to bear fruit. I'm going to take you, so whoa, 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 whoa. My daughter, you have been content to stay in the shadows. You have been content to stay in the background, but I am calling you forth, says the Lord. I am calling you forth. I've put words in your heart. I have put words in your spirit, and you're bursting. You're bursting forth. You're bursting forth, and I see you as a bulb that has been just under the ground and waiting for spring, and boom! Boom! You're coming forth like an earthquake, says the Lord. There's a shaking and a quaking that's happening in the midst of you. And it's my calling you forth, my daughter. For you have so much gifting that nobody has seen. For you have been content even to be unknown. And the Lord says, you are known. You are known by me. And I have placed many treasures within you. And it's my good pleasure to open your life and pour out my treasure from within you into the body, says the Lord. And I'm giving you favor. I'm giving you favor with the parent generation. I'm giving you favor, for the women are going to be set free by the prayers that you pray over them. For you are a daughter that's a deliverer. You're a deliverer. You are a deliverer. Whoa, 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 whoa. Shadaba karaba sadaba. Shadaba sadadadabasa. Shodadadabasi. And the Lord says, don't fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. For you know my voice. You know my voice. And we have had conversations. And we're going to have more conversations. And I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you what to say. Be secure in my arms, because we're going together. Do not fear. Do not fear. But rejoice and be glad, for my glory dwells within you and surrounds you, says the Lord. Hey, 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 hey. Hey. Okay. and my son, I've placed within you a trumpet call. A trumpet call. You are a trumpet in the body of Christ. You are even a trumpet in the heavenlies. For when you open your mouth, the trumpet sounds and the rally comes forth. And I'm opening things up for you that you will speak and you will teach. You will preach, says the Lord. And there's going to be people that run to my presence when you speak. For I am giving you a revelation of my presence. You have had revelation and it has been good, but the Lord says you are about to embark on a tsunami wave of revelation. For I'm going to pour over you in such a way that is unprecedented, says the Lord. You've not experienced such a thing. I am overwhelming you. And just as the angel of the Lord came upon Mary and impregnated her with the Christ, the Lord says, I am coming upon you, my son, and I am impregnating you with message and revelation that you have not ever seen before. For you are going to go forth in some newness. Whoa. Newness, like has not been seen before. And there are going to come ministries after you that are going to model themselves after your ministry, says the Lord. For there are waves and waves and waves that are coming forth from this place.
Lisa, you do belong with him. You do belong with him. What you bring is critical. God brought you to him because you bring things he needs. And oftentimes you've seen yourself as a kind of a add-on or a little extra that just comes along and takes care of things. But your place is beside him. Co-ministering together. You have a pastor's heart. That's not gender specific. You have a pastor's heart. And the Lord is going to release on you an understanding of how to minister in that. He's going to overcome the issues of gender and training and all those things because you've been called to that. It's a thing you were born with, created in your mother's womb. And you're going to do well at it. Sam, I felt like the Lord said, you know, all these things were just really excellent. All I can add is, he says there's lots of teachers in the Bible, I mean in the church, but not many fathers. He says, I'm going to give you a father's heart. It isn't just for this church, it's for this city. The connections you're going to have is just, there's going to be openings of doors to father what's going on in this city. To father people that are going to come in. He said, son, I made you young. And young thinking because there's lots of kids that need a dad. And you're going to be transitioning even from a kind of a teaching to a real fathering. And God's going to just plant it in you. Father, we thank you that you want to raise up people not just to be followers but to be fathers.
And Sam, I feel that the Lord is going to use you in reconciliation, that there's going to be a reconciliation between the first and second generations, and he's going to use you in a way to mediate the two and bring healing between the second generation and the first. And there's going to be an understanding and a great wisdom that the Lord's going to place upon you and knowing how to go about it in a new and fresh way. Others have come in and have forced things to happen, but no, the Lord says, I am going to make a way, and I'm going to use you in wisdom and knowledge, and you're going to draw the two together. There's going to be a bonding and unity, and there's going to be a relationship that has not been there before. And I see you acting like a bridge between the two, that you can relate to the second generation, but there's a wisdom in you in knowing how to connect with the first, and there shall be reconciliation through you.
Father, we bless them. We bless their marriage. that Sam, you're going to find a way just to so make a place that it'll be comfortable for Lisa to step forward, because you know her better and you know the things that make her work than anyone else in the world. God's going to give you a real wisdom to make it comfortable for her to step forward. He's going to help you because you two are destined to impact more than just a few people in a church. And there's a blessing of God on your marriage that you will be an example to many that haven't seen it modeled by their parents and haven't even maybe seen it modeled by their culture. And that the Lord is going to continue to draw you two together, to take times away together, that you will really be able to encourage others by your example even more than your words. And I bless your marriage. The things that would come against it in terms of busyness of ministry or personal issues that you may be working through, in the name of Jesus, they are not as big as the commitment and the covenant of God putting you together. So we bless you, and we bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stay with him if you want, or whatever. I guess I have to preach today. Actually, most of the preaching has already happened. I'm just going to tell you a few stories. You guys like stories? Okay, we'll do some stories today. There will be a point to those. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. And no, I'm not going to talk about the fourth horseman or the third beast or anything like that. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for how good you are, how excellent your heart is toward us, and the plans you have for us, and the desire and the passion that you want to put in our hearts towards the things of the kingdom. We love you, God. Help this time, God, that it would somehow sort of wrap up all of our time together in a way that would move each person here more forward in the things that you've called them to. Thank you for helping us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I want to talk about the importance of telling about the goodness of God. I'm going to talk about testimony. Revelation chapter 19. I'm just going to look at one. Well, I should maybe look at two verses just to give you context. We'll start at verse 9. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." Y'all got your invitation yet? If you have not got your invitation, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, you can do that after the service today. I just want you to know that. You don't have to leave here not having an invitation. Verse 10. "At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God.'" And here's the phrase I want to look at today. "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Bill Johnson is a pastor of a church in Reading where God's just been doing some really remarkable things. And I was at a conference and heard him speak one time, and he told this story. And it set the table for what I want to talk about today. And this is a pretty fun story. In 2002, he was speaking at a conference in Minnesota. And there was a young lady there who had broken her ankle and severed her Achilles tendon. And it never healed back the right way. And as a result, part of her calf muscle had atrophied. So she only had a little portion of her calf muscle. And she had a damaged Achilles tendon. She had calcium deposits. She'd had surgery and nothing had fixed everything. She still had numbness and pain in her leg. She went up to receive ministry. And the Lord healed her. The pain went away and all that kind of stuff. And so she was really excited. And they went home that night. And they got up the next morning as they were preparing to come to the conference the next day. Her husband looked at her leg and said, hey, that wasn't there before. Because not only did God heal her Achilles tendon and take away the pain, the calf muscle grew back. Now that's kind of cool, huh? Well, she comes to the meeting, and he has people come up from the night before who had testimony, so she gets up and gives her testimony. There's a woman in the audience from Holland, Amsterdam, and she had injured her calf muscle and her Achilles tendon as a child, and she had the same problems, and she's sitting in the audience. She hears the testimony, and she was thinking, if God will do it for her, he'll do it for me. Now, I want you to get this. This is basically what the meaning of this little passage we just read. Look back at it again. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It says that she heard this testimony, received it like a prophetic word, an implanting of faith in her life, and said, if God will do it for her, he will do it for me, because God is not a respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he'll do it for one person, he will do it for another one. If he did it for her, he will do it for me. And that's the spirit she came forward in, because of the impact of the testimony. Nobody had prayed for her yet. She comes up. The pastor's wife and this first woman who's received the healing pray for her. She falls down in the power of the Spirit. They roll up her pant leg, and she's not only got a new Achilles tendon, she's also got a new calf. There's a third woman in line who has been kicked by a horse when she was small. And she had the torn and the whole thing, and she had no calf muscle and everything. So now there's three women, and they get around her, and they pray for her, and she gets healed. She gets up to give a testimony, and they see someone walking down the aisle with a limp and a cane, and here's a fourth person who has had Achilles damage and no calf muscle. They come down, now there's, how many got, four of them praying for him. They pray for this woman. She falls under the power of the Spirit, and when she gets up, she has no pain in her Achilles tendon and a new calf muscle. He leaves the next day for a conference in Tennessee. So he and the team are really pumped about this, because that's pretty cool when you have four creative miracles in one meeting. He tells the story, and there's a guy in the audience who had a sports injury in high school, and he'd torn his Achilles tendon, and he'd had that muscle atrophy, and in its place a tumor had grown. So he had this kind of lump in his leg, but no muscle. Well, he hears this testimony. He comes up for prayer. Same thing happens. God completely delivers him of the tumor. And so then Bill asks and says, can you feel anything? And he says, yes, I can feel my skin stretching as the muscle's growing back. So now we've got five. He flies home to his church in Reading after all this. And, of course, he's excited to tell everybody about it. And so he gets up and shares all the testimonies about all the people. There's a woman visiting the church that doesn't go to that church. First time she's visited, and you know what's coming now, don't you? And that's what happened. So number six receives a new Achilles tendon, a new calf muscle. He leaves about a week later to go to Brazil to do an international meeting with Randy Clark. And so he's telling about this testimony. And there's a woman from San Francisco who's part of the ministry team. He tells the story. She's got torn Achilles tendon, didn't heal properly, and no calf muscle. She says, gosh, I wonder if God would do that for me. Doesn't feel anything, no sensation, no heat, no stretching, anything else. But they take a break. She goes into the washroom, pulls up her pant leg, and she has a brand new calf muscle. Seven of them. Can we just give God a round of applause for that? Is that cool or what? How big is your God? How big is your God really? I mean, we all give mental assent to that he can do those kinds of things. But how big is your God really? When you take him to work with you, or go to the grocery store, or interact with your friends and stuff, how big is your God in practice? It all happened because of the power of testimony. See, testimony comes and implants something in us, just like a prophetic word. Sam talked earlier about the prophetic word that came to Christine, and she hung on to that because there was some faith imparted because of the power of the prophetic word, because it's the testimony of what Jesus wanted to do in her life. Your testimony can do the same thing. Because the spirit of prophecy is just telling about Jesus. And when we tell about what Jesus has done in our lives, when we get up here and testify and you think, oh, I don't have that much to say. There are people sitting in church dealing with the same stuff, and you can literally implant faith through the testimony of Jesus through what he's done in your life. It's like a prophetic word that goes in and says, yeah, he'll do it for me because he did it for them. He loves me just as much as them. He doesn't respect anyone any more or any less. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in the Bible, what he did 2 weeks ago, what he did in 2002, what he did last week, he'll do it for me today. Do you think maybe we might have missed a little bit of the value of testimony? We think it's up here just to tell a story or get embarrassed or something like that. I would suggest to you that the power of your testimony has the capacity to change other people's lives. You think, I don't have anything to say, or I can't get words that are real long and make people fall over and all that kind of stuff. So, you can plant something in someone that will change their life. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 19:10 tells us that the testimony of Jesus is that verbal or written record of what God has done, and it contains in it the anointing of prophecy. Whenever we're talking about Jesus, it contains that anointing in it. You know, the Holy Spirit and the anointing are not completely disconnected from Jesus. They're all part of the same family. You know, I had somebody yesterday come up and ask me, said, okay, now who should I be praying to? Should I be praying to the Holy Spirit when I'm praying for, you know, prophetic ministry? Do I talk to Jesus, you know, and all? You know, it doesn't matter. They get along really well. If you direct the prayer to Jesus, it's supposed to go to the Father. It's okay. They'll get it together. Just pray, okay? It contains the anointing in it to make things happen because it's all part of the family up there. And when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on your testimony, we're talking about Jesus, and it's releasing faith to believe Jesus is going to do again right now what he did for someone else. In 1995, there's a pastor and his wife came up to me and asked me to pray for them to have a child. I don't like to pray for those things. I don't like it because if you get it wrong, it just really messes people's lives up. It's so important about having a child. So they came up and I felt like God said something. I said, I don't want to say that because I don't pray about that. We teach our ministry team. We never pray about, you know, dates of marriages and mates and babies and that kind of thing. We just don't do that. In specific kind of dates, because if we don't get it right, then there's a lot of hurt, and people can be offended by that. So we don't pray about that. So I started praying about something else in their life. And he goes, no, I want to hear about having a baby. And I'm thinking, I don't want to pray about having a baby. I want to like talk to someone else because this could like cause all kinds of problems. So I try again to start praying about something else. He says, no, I want you to pray about us having a baby. And almost before I could think about it, it came out of my mouth, it's a done deal. It's going to happen within this calendar year, and God's going to do it for you. And I go, oh, no. I was like so appalled because I broke every rule I ever teach anybody in doing all this stuff. I go, oh, I'm going to be stoned. But 3 months later, they gave us a call, and she was pregnant with their first child. Now, that's really neat. About a year ago now, there was a couple in our church who'd been trying to have a baby for several years. And they'd gone to the doctors, and the doctor said, you're going to have to do all the fertilization things, and you may or may not have a child and all that kind of thing. And they were just sharing with us. I said, well, could we pray with you before you do that? Because we've prayed, and God's just opened up people's wombs before, because he can do that, right? It's very biblical. You read the stories of the Old Testament, it's very biblical. So, you know, Sam's talking about we have biblical foundation for all this. Well, there's biblical foundation for that. So we shared with them a couple of testimonies, including the testimony of this couple. And so they said, okay. And so we prayed with them. And like 5 weeks later, she phoned up and said, we're pregnant. But what was important was when she gave her testimony before our church, she said, I heard the stories, and this time I had faith. We told the testimony of what happened before to other people, and that planted in her faith to believe that God would do it for her, because he's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one person, he will do for another. And the impartation, the anointing of that testimony about other people in past experiences gave her a basis to believe for her own life, and 5 weeks later she was pregnant. Do you like that? Do you think maybe when Pastor Sam asks you to give a testimony next time, there might be a different perspective about why you're doing it and what you want to do with it? Because you're planting an anointing for faith in other people. You're giving them a basis to believe that God will come and work in their life. A while ago, Mary and I were having dinner with a couple, and they were sharing a lot of things that were going on in their life in our church, and he was talking about, you know, potential to maybe get a job change, and they wanted to get a house, and just several things they were talking about. I'm sitting there, and God gives me a word for him. And I said, I don't want to give a word now. I'm really kind of arguey with God. Whiny, Mary calls me sometimes, and I probably am. I'm kind of like the one who says, no, I don't want to, but then when I know it's God, I will step forward and do it, rather than, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it for God, and then you never see anybody again. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? They come and say, oh, I want to get involved, Pastor. And then you never see him again. I'm the one you won't hear from, but I'll finally slide in the door, and then I'll stick and do it. So at least God knows eventually I'll get around to doing it. But he says, we just had a nice dinner, God. And, you know, they're just sharing. And he says, no, I want you to give him a word. I said, okay. Because, you know, I don't necessarily like doing it, but I hate the feeling of not obeying God more, so I usually get around to doing it. And I said, okay. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that not only is what your plan's right, it's going to happen so fast, you need to start packing now. That your job is going to change in the next month or something like that. I don't remember the exact time, month or 6 weeks. And you need to start packing now, because that's how fast this is going to come, because you've heard the word of the Lord and he wants to do that. Well, they get all excited about this. And I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, he calls up and says, I got a new job. It's a better job. It pays more. I have lower hours, and it's in the field I want to do. Now, that's pretty cool. They went the next day. The wife called up the real estate agent. Now, what we didn't know is they had tried to buy houses before, and twice they'd been turned down. They had no credit. They had no down payment. They said, well, that's okay. We got a prophetic word. We're going to go out and do this thing anyway. So they went out, talked to their real estate agent. They had a list of things that they wanted in their house. And one of them she had was bookcases, built-in bookcases. Now you guys know who we're talking about, right? Because if you... I'll get there in a minute. So she's got all this list. She says, okay, here's what I want, and I want you to show us this stuff. And so the real estate agent takes them around, and they walk into this house. And it's the most bookcased house in the history of the world. The guy who lived there was a prof for the University of Toronto. He had built-in bookcases in the basement, in the first floor, in the second floor, and in the up attic study that he'd built. He had bookcases in the closets. It was like everywhere. There are libraries with less adequate facilities than this house. She walks in and says, this is the house I want. And they said, great, how are you going to do this? She goes, I don't know. We don't have any money. They've been turned down twice. But the power of the prophetic word said, God's going to do this thing. She says, well, what can we do? And the real estate agent says, well, I think I can do something to help you. In 2 days, they had a house with no down payment and a past credit history that says they shouldn't be able to do that. So Lily gets up and shares the testimony in our church about how God provided all this stuff. There's another couple in our church who is in the same kind of a situation. They have no money for a down payment. They've never bought a house. They don't have a whole lot of credit. He's not even open to buying a house because he doesn't want to go into debt. He's going to, I guess, save up $300,000 or something to buy a house or whatever. $300,000 Canadian. What is that here, about $340 million or something? Shopping here is a sticker shock. Oh, my gosh, I look at some of these and I go, oh, wait, it's a little bit less. So they hear this testimony from Lily and Dan about what happened in their house. They go home, they pray about a 30-second prayer. They said, okay, God, you did it for Dan and Lily. You can do it for us. She gets in the car the next day, drives to the part of town where they want to buy the house. She wants a new house. So she goes to where they're building the new house, walks in, picks out the one they want, and says, this is the one I want. They said, how are you going to pay for it? I go, we don't know. You figure it out. They came home the next day with a house. Nobody prayed over them. I didn't even know this was going on. I didn't even hear about it until they came up and gave testimony about it. The power of testimony to plant faith in people is the testimony of Jesus. Proverbs 18:21 says, your words are life and death. What kind of things are you speaking into your life? Oh, that'll never happen to me. It couldn't possibly work. Look at how inadequate I am. I don't have any anointing. I don't have any teaching. I'm too dumb. I'm too all this stuff. Yeah, I'll heard that in church a few times, right? Our little ministry group, they go, I don't hear from God. Yes, you do. And they did. What are you saying? Are you saying the testimony of Jesus or the testimony of the enemy? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to give you an abundant, full life. Whose testimony are we speaking about in our life? I'm not talking about name it and claim it kind of things where, you know, I want three cars and, you know, I want them today kind of a thing. But there is a because both of these couples have committed to hosting small groups. One of them is already hosting a small group. The other one, as soon as their house gets built, they're going to host a small group. They say, we want to do this stuff for kingdom purposes and do this kind of thing. God's behind that. God doesn't hate wealth. He wants you to have lots of it, and then he wants you to give lots of it away. There weren't very many amens on that. Okay. Yeah, the first part. There is a creative power in the prophetic word of testimony, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Turn back to Psalm 78. Testimony is important for more than just planting faith. Every time the nation of Israel, what did I just say? Psalm 78. Every time the nation of Israel fell into idolatry can be traced back to one thing. Now, this entire psalm deals with this cyclical issue that Israel fell into, but we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Verse 9. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back in the day of battle. Why? Verse 10, they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. Why? They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had showed them. It was the culture most basic to Israel that they talk about what Jesus had done, or what God had done in their history. They said, remember what he did back in Egypt. Remember what he did in the wilderness. Remember what he did as he brought us into the promised land. The testimony was to be continually on their hearts and on their lips talking about it. They needed that reminder to say, yes, I remember what God did. As they were getting ready to go out to work that day, yes, I remember God as a provider, that when our forefathers were in the wilderness, he even provided when there wasn't any provision. He just had it come down from heaven. God is a provider. And they had this testimony about them all the time. But the moment they lost track of the God who is able to invade the difficult or the impossible, they begin to turn away from focus on God to their own abilities. How are we going to take care of this? And that's starting down the slope of idolatry. That I'm going to take care of it, and God isn't involved in the equation. Now, why do you suppose it is we come to church every Sunday? We have more religious books available to us, teaching books available to us than any time in the history of the world. We have all these aids. We can fly people all over the globe. We can to connect with each other. We have television channels that tell us nothing except about God. All this stuff. Why do we stumble into sin when the enemy attacks us? I mean, of all the people in the history of the world, we ought to be able to stand more strongly than anybody else if it was about information. We forget, just like the Israelites, our commitment to God and how he's provided in the past. Why do we forget? Because we don't live with the testimony of what God has done in our lives. We don't have the story of how God has provided, delivered, healed, taken care of us, comforted us. We forget, and the moment we forget, we then look to our own ability and we start moving away from God. We can come into the time of when we're tempted and we've got our Bibles and we've got our worship tapes and all that kind of thing, but the moment we put them down and we turn to look at, oh, look at how big this problem is, we're turning away from what God wants to release into our lives. Are you with me? Do you have hope in your Christian life? Flip back a couple pages to Psalm 71. 71, verse 14. David writes in the first part of this, "As for me, I will always have hope." Why would David say, "I always have hope"? I mean, there are people here, I know, in the group this size, there's some people here that don't have hope. Why could David say, "I always have hope"? Let's read on. "I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds." Why do we have hope? Because of the testimony of Jesus. How he is moved in our lives over and over again, met different areas. Whatever it is in your life, I know I've got a testimony of how God provided for somebody because I've just heard enough of them. I want to go around and collect them now. Sang keeps a book in our church of everybody who's gotten healed in the last year, and we've got, oh, I don't know, what, 17 or 18 pages or something like that. So if we forget, man, it doesn't seem like God's healing anybody. Well, let's go back and look. Yes, he has. Oh, I can believe in God again. Are we talking about God or are we talking about our problems? We fall back, we lose hope whenever we cease to talk about God. What kind of a church did you grow up in? I've been in church my whole life. I know how to do church. I may have slept under more pews than you've even been in services. I went to a church where if the door was open, you had to be there. I read all those hymnals. I got all excited when somebody sang a song that was at least only 100 years old instead of 200. I know how to do church. What I didn't know was how to connect with God in this church. What kind of a church did you grow up in? What kind of a God did you grow up with? I grew up with an angry God. I heard a lot about hellfire and brimstone when I grew up, and my picture of God until I was in my 20s was this guy, this huge throne, big, long, gray beard, massive club in his hand, waiting for me to step out of line, and bam, just, you know, he's going to get me. It was all over. That's what I grew up with. It doesn't match the testimony in here at all. But we didn't talk about testimony. We just talked about what we shouldn't do. What kind of church are your kids going to grow up in? Most of you are not that far away from having kids. What kind of a church are your kids going to grow up in? Last year we had a ministry team go to Mexico and do ministry, and they had a wild 5 days down there. They packed about 10 days into 5 days, and I think they slept once, they told me, or something like that. Mary and Sang are laughing because they were part of that trip. But Sang gave her testimony, and her testimony is completely about praying for people to be healed, and then they led people to Jesus. By the way, if you're having trouble with evangelism, pray for an unbeliever who's sick, and when they get well, they're very open to the gospel. It's just like a not hard at all to lead somebody to Jesus after you've just gotten them healed. Well, Sang shared several of these testimonies. And so I'd been preaching through Joshua or something, but I took a week off to talk about that prayer, that healing is God's will. So Sang gave her testimonies about the healing of God, and I shared the biblical basis underneath that. One of the people who was attending that day, his name is Mike. Mike's an awesome member of our church, but he's not like on the ministry team. He's not on the worship team. He's not a small group leader. He just is a faithful attender. Mike also happens to be an emergency room doctor. So he heard the testimony, he heard the sermon. He goes home. On Tuesday morning, he gets a phone call from his dad and says, "You've got to come over to the house. Mom is really sick." So he gets in the car, comes over. There's mom's on the floor. And he's an ER doctor, so he, you know, kneels down, looks at it, and he makes the diagnosis that she's got a severe inner ear problem that comes from one of two things. She either has a really bad infection that causes the vertigo, infection in her ear, or she's having a stroke. His analysis, or no, not analysis, diagnosis is she's having a stroke. He calls up his wife, Ann, said, "Ann, you got to pray for mom. She's starting to have a stroke." He puts the phone down. He's just ready to dial the ambulance, and he remembers Sang's testimony about praying for people who are sick. He says, "Okay, well, this shouldn't take long." So, you know, remember, he's not a ministry team person. He's not somebody who pray for 5 minutes or something. He goes, you know, just goes over to her. She's laying on the floor. This is mom. He says, "Jesus, heal mom." And she's kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden she just goes totally limp. But it was a good kind of limp, because he knows if somebody's passed out, as opposed to there's just this piece. And he gets a piece in his heart, and he goes, "Well, that's different." You know, and so he's kind of sitting there and watching. About 20 minutes later, his mom wakes up, sits up, and wants to go in and cook lunch. Like a good Korean mom would want to do. You know, it's past lunchtime. We've got to go in and cook, you know, make this thing happen. And he says, "No," because Mike's a good doctor. He says, "No, you can't do that. Sit here." And so he does an entire diagnosis, and his mom is completely healed. The power of testimony that says he did it for someone else. He is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Sang, he'll do it for me. He'll do it for me now. Are you with me? What kind of a church do you want your kids to grow up in? Verse 18. "Even when I am old and gray," I am gray, but I am not old. I want that very clear now. Thank you. "They tell me I'm still the best player on our softball team, even though I'm almost 50. Yeah, what does that mean? Oh, thank you. Okay. Good recovery. "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." I am not only 50 and gray, I have a grandson who's just awesome, and another grandson that I don't get to see so often, and a granddaughter, but the grandson I've seen several times. And we were down there not long ago to visit with him and just to be able to talk, and he's starting to dialogue with me. He calls me Papa. I want to tell Sammy about my stories. I want him to grow up in a church that healing is normative. I want him to grow up with a lifestyle of hearing from God that's the norm, not the exception. That, of course, God's going to talk to me. Of course, God is going to heal me. Of course, when people are oppressed by the enemy, we're going to pray for them and they're going to get delivered. I want him to grow up in that, and he's going to do it because I'm going to tell him the testimony of what God has done. When he encounters things, I say, "Let me tell you about how Jesus did this thing." I want to tell him about how bones popped back into place when I prayed for people. When people who were oppressed by the enemy got set free. There was a time I was in, you know, I was praying for a young lady, and she was really oppressed by something. And, you know, she was crying, and she had this kind of gnarled up face, and you just go, "I don't even need discernment. This is a demonic thing." Guy was praying for him. The guy who was praying for him came over and got me and said, "I don't do this very well. Can you do this?" So I came over and I said, you know, "Okay, God, what do you want to do?" And he says, "Just tell it to leave." I like those a lot. I don't like those long, extensive inner healing kinds of things. And so I said, "You know, you tormenting spirit, leave." And she just like kind of relaxed and sat there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then she's laying there, and she kind of rolled over, and she got the biggest grin on her face. It was so cute. And her mom went nuts, just went crazy, because this little gal had been tormented, apparently, for years. I want to tell Sammy about that. I want him to grow up in the environment of knowing that we serve a God who does that kind of stuff, who likes his kids, who takes good care of his kids, and he'll do it for you. You don't have to go to a big meeting, and there's nothing wrong with meetings, and I bless big meetings, and people like Benny Hinn and people that do those huge, huge meetings, I bless that. But you're all ministers. Yeah. Every one of you is a minister. Read Ephesians 4, you'll find out that every one of us has the capacity to, through the power of our testimony, plant faith and confidence and a certainty of God's willing desire to come and do for you what he's done for other people. And I want my grandson to grow up knowing that. I want him to do deliverances at 7 instead of 27 when I started. I want him to hear from God at 8 instead of 28. What kind of a church are your kids going to grow up in? Are you talking about the Word of God? Are you talking about the testimony? I believe there's going to be a time in this church, just like I believe there's going to be a time in my church, when we are going to have to just not bother with the sermon because so many people have testimony about what Jesus has done. I believe it's coming for this church. When you go, look what Jesus did today. Because compared to a sermon, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And what we're telling about Jesus healing and delivering and encouraging and talking to us and opening doors for a ministry opportunity. What better sermon can you get? Isn't that what the world's looking for? Is someone who knows a God who can connect them to help make their life work. And we tell the testimony about that. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. What are you testifying about? Father, I ask that in the name of Jesus, there would be a holy hunger for making a declaration of what you've done. And God, if people here do not have a testimony, if they do not have their own stories, I ask that there would be such an intense hunger to say, God, I want my own stories. I do not want to hear about what Pastor Sam says. I do not want to hear about what speaking ministers, visiting ministers have to say. I want my own stories. I'm glad Sam could pray for somebody and see someone get healed. I'm glad Pastor Mary can prophesy for someone, but I want my own stories. I want to be able to tell my kids and my grandkids something different than what I grew up with. God, through the anointing of your Spirit, come right now and put hunger to say, I want a testimony. God, deliver me from being a complainer. Deliver me from saying what's wrong and release me into saying the promises and the provision of God. And it's not that we don't acknowledge that those things are there. We simply have a God that's bigger than those things. God, give us passion. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we talked quite a bit about healing today. I think we should just take a minute and do that. How many people here need God to heal them? Really? This is a pretty healthy congregation, then. Is this going through on the translation? How many people here need God to heal them? There's pain or something. There's something wrong in your life. Put your hand up. Okay, I want you to keep it up. There's a few people holding each other's hands up. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. We're not going to go run out and pray for it. No, keep your hand up. Anybody want? How bad do you want this stuff? Keep your hand up for longer than 5 seconds, right? Holy Spirit, you're the healer. We ask you to come right now. That you would do things, creative things, restorative things. Come and heal. someone has a digestive problem in their, in like their, what is this thing called? This esophagus in that area, like the, like acid reflux or something. God's healing that. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Issues of digestion and ulcers. God's healing that. Come, Holy Spirit. Heal in Jesus' name. Headache pain on the left side of your head, like right behind your ear. God's healing that. Lower back pain, like in the disc area. God's healing that. Come, Holy Spirit. Just heal. Pain in your hips. Maybe it's the same people that have the back pain. I don't know. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the healer. Pain in the jaw, like TMJ or something like that, but pain in your jaw. God's healing it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, those of you who put your hand up for healing, especially if you can tell, like some of you, if you had pain before and you didn't have pain before, I mean, you had pain before and you don't have pain now, you know, do something like move an arm or something like that or whatever. If there was pain before, how many people in the last, 2 minutes or something, God healed you? There's something that happened right now. There's less pain or some other thing like that. Just put up your hand. We just talked about testimony, remember? I know a couple of them you can't tell. What happened? You had pain in your left jaw, like when you talked and when you moved? Yeah. Yeah? And so, like when you would just sit there and it would throb with pain? There's a pain there. Okay, so there's a pain inside, and now you can do that, and now you can press it, and there's no pain at all. Cool. Who else? Yes. The headache on the left side of your, it was there and it's not there now. There's pain was coming and now there's no pain. We like that. Anybody else? I think God wants to do more. Let's do it again. You want healing? Put your hand up. In the name of Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you've done, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for the elimination of pain. And Lord, let's do some more. Come, Holy Spirit. Pain in your right shoulder. Trust God right now. Stick your hand up. There's no pain. Thank you, Jesus. A pain in, I think that's me. A pain in your ribs that prevents you from breathing really well. Yeah, doesn't hurt. Okay, time out, because I know there's one testimony, but anybody else, anything while you're praying, you had some kind of pain that you could identify? I know some of the things that maybe you're praying for are internal, or you need to go to the doctor to get tested out on, that you need to get confirmed by the doctor, and you should always get confirmed by doctor. We've got someone that is right now in our church, they're pretty sure they've been healed of a chronic disease, but they're waiting to go back to the doctor because I said, I want to see the one where they said you have it and the one where you don't have it. But they've been symptom-free now for 4 weeks in a chronic disease that doesn't get healed. So I'm really looking forward to doing that one. So I know some of you have to get somebody, pain's gone or something like that. There's freedom of movement. Anybody? Yes. She received prayer last night and prayer again. And sometimes you got to come back a little bit more because you know what? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't want you to be pain-free. He doesn't want you to have a testimony of Jesus. And sometimes we have to contend. Jude tells us that we have to contend for the faith. Sometimes you have to. Praise God. Anybody else? Pain was there and there isn't pain now. Or if there's freedom of movement or something like that. Well, then I'll testify because I had one. About 3 weeks ago, I was playing basketball with our guys, and yes, I am getting a little older. And I'm a little bit more out of shape, and we just had a collision. I got hit in my rib. And Mary was able to do an adjustment to get most of my back in place, but my entire trip, I've had trouble with pain. And I could push right here, and there was intense pain because it was still, you know, not set back into place. And there is no pain there. And so when Sam got that thing, I go, well, I think it's mine. I'm going to take that. So if you have pain in your rib, you can have it too. That's okay because the Holy Spirit can do the thing. But I couldn't do this without pain literally 10 minutes ago. So I like that. You know, lots of stuff's happened today. I don't want to be sensitive to the time issue and all that kind of thing. We've been going for just a little bit over 2 hours. Could we just stand up and praise God like he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our lives, the healer of our bodies, the provider for everything we need, and the one who has everything planned for the rest of eternity for us? Could we just give him, like, honor and glory and praise and cheering? And no, I mean, like, he's really the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, I just have one other thing. If the Prime Minister of Hong Kong walked in here now, is that what he'd get? Pick your favorite country. Pick your favorite sports team. For you guys, you pick your favorite sports team. If that person, if your favorite athlete walked in, if your own personal hero walked in, how would you respond to them? Jesus is here. How do you want to tell him thanks? Can we give an applause and a praise and a cry that's worthy of Jesus? Woo!